The next item on our agenda is to have a discussion of the comparative analysis of the Great USA and WJE and Associates report. So this will be presented by Milwaukee County Facility Management Division. Also have received today a clarification from WJE and from the National Trust for Historic Preservation respecting some of the issues that are part of the comparison between the Great Report and the WJE report. I imagine, I hope you all had a chance to receive that. Came out today.
I sent it out to Alden.
Allison very promptly got that out to us. Before we go ahead with the presentation, I want to remind the commissioners that you should receive this microphone that I have before you speak so that we can be sure that there is a audible version of this meeting available for people who are unable to attend. Use a microphone if you scratch it during the presentations. Mr. Tice.
Thank you very much. I'm Jeremy Tice, Facility Management Director from Milwaukee County. I apologize for missing the last meeting. One of the focuses of discussion that I was told to come back with was a comparative analysis between the Great Report that was done that produced seven options and the WJE peer review. So that is what we're here to present today. We'll try and be pretty quick about this. I'll explain the format and why we chose that format. With me, of course, is Julie and Sandy. The reason why I asked them to kind of form a panel is that I know when we have questions, as a technical expert and an architect, Julie's worked in this facility for over 5 years and knows it probably as well as anyone in Milwaukee County. Sandy has worked here for 10 years and knows how it affects the plant's operations and everything else. So as we go through the differences in the reports, we ask questions. Encourage you to ask them as well. So I'm going to touch more on the programming and planning aspects. So the format of the report, I guess it was originally intended to be about 2 pages, became 3, but what we wanted to do was provide you a summary that you could carry with you throughout this 6 to 12 month process. So both of these reports, I think, were exceptionally well written, understand the facility to the point that where we're at now, and of course we have to continue to follow the planning and programming that is to come. We're essentially going to end up with third, fourth, fifth opinions on where we head here. And so I want to also restate that this report is not intended to lead us to conclusions on how to repair certain aspects. There will be further efforts that spin off this related to mocking up different systems and components, exploratory work to see the nature of what's required to do things like clean up drainage. So just be very clear about that. So I'm going to work my way through the report, if that's all right. Starting at the top, and I'll be kind of quick, but stop and ask questions. I'll pause throughout some of these sections before we get too far. So, as I stated, there's 2 reports that outline the technical options to date for these facilities. Neither of them take in the planning and programming that we're about to embark upon. We produced the GRAPE report, as it's known, for the 7 options to just frame a reference idea of what the challenges we're looking at. And I'm going to go through the issues related to option 1, which is the smallest project related to repairing the dome. And then Wiscany Elsner Associates was requested to provide a peer review of Grace's work by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. They ended up providing 1 recommendation with estimated cost between that's what we're going to compare. We're going to, so as I said, Grace has 7 options in it. The WJE report had 1 recommendation. We're going to repair option 1, which was the smallest amount of work to repair the facility Grace support to the WJE report. So to start off the conversation, we made a quick table and bucketed it into core elements, water infiltration, and building code and accessibility. All of these, all 3 of these are critical elements. Water infiltration we'll go back to. If whatever we do at this facility does not stop the water infiltration from occurring, we have not succeeded. So that's one of our focuses as the building owner, is that we need to stop the water infiltration and have the buildings operate as they should. You can work through this presentation here to see some major differences. As the chairman pointed out, there were some notes made today from WJE in a clarification document. I reviewed that document today. I could summarize it and say there were 11 notes that were made. I actually kind of categorized them. Really no issues with any of them, of course. Again, a thorough review. We both had kind of a set of confusing points between our 2 reports that we need to need to clarify in future days. There's a few areas of difference of technical opinions. Milwaukee County has a few concerns with some of the recommendations, and that may be related to cost growth, or that may be related to, as the building owner, what risk we can accept. And then there's a couple points that still have a little confusion. I personally haven't sat down with WJE, but I don't think any of those are any issues to show anything. We're all moving in the same direction. So if I go across the core elements here, those 2 basic projects, there's the minimal effort that would be done. They're very consistent. The one clarification that was sent today is in the wire mesh. WJE request or included removal of the mesh, but did not think it needed to get reinstalled. They clarified that they included that cost in their $18 million estimate. As you go into the water infiltration, there is confusion about window seals being replaced. It's probably due to the amount of detail in the design that we're at thus far. Grace report of the 9,000 plus windows recommends to replace all the seals around the windows. Whereas WJE's report, you see the round hubs on the outside of the domes, focuses on there. It's our opinion that likely both need to be addressed. If we were to go forward with ensuring this facility is watertight, and also thinking about if you're already there replacing seals, should you consider glass or other options being replaced? So again, we'll work through those in the planning program. That's where you see on the water filtration the cap replaced. And so we added 1 significant point here, which is the down tube drainage repairs. So they did add a clarification that they did recommend doing some work on the down tube drainage. I would add that, well, and Julie could add as well, that we have significant concerns and question marks there. That is the frame, exoskeleton frame of the facility. It pockets into both the nodes at the top and bottom. It has not really been free-flowing or utilized for 50 years. So what that means is it's not as simple as routing a pipe. We probably need to do exploratory work before we're willing to spend 6-7 figures on ensuring or verifying that can be completely repaired. I'll have some time for some questions after I get through the building code and accessibility. There was also a clarification sent in regarding the ADA upgrade allowance that's in the middle. We noted yes, they noted no, and the code compliance upgrades. They noted that they would need to add $690,000 to their estimate in order to include that. So if I was to amend this report, I'd say we're perfectly in alignment there. Also, those are conceptual costs. Those are not budgetary costs, so a lot of work to do in the design. And vegetation protection, they also noted they did include some costs for that as well. We noted minimal because in the Grape report, there was a lot of discussion about the need to cut down plants, move plants, et cetera. And there was a little less discussion about that in the WJE report, but they clarified that they intended to do all that work within the cost. So the carrot there at the bottom is the note about the flushing and drainage system. I guess at that point, and I do have obviously some more talking points to go through here, but I wanted to stop a couple times because I know this is incredibly confusing and I don't want to be too technical. We don't have any props, but are there questions from the task force related to the differences in what that result is?
Do we have even a vague idea which down tubes are plugged and which aren't? Kind of a rough ratio?
Not yet. We
didn't
test
them yet.
We, from the beginning.
Hello? Yep.
Okay. We have not tested it for drainage.
From the beginning, this project was first built, there are issues with the flushing system. We're not sure if it related to water pressure or what it was at the time, but I think it got let go and nobody ever repaired or anything because it was a maintenance item and not necessarily something that was broken and needed fixed. So it hasn't been run for decades. The repairs to it, we're not exactly sure what needs to be done. And we have no way to look inside without taking everything apart. So the answer is no. We have no idea what that is.
Okay, so for clarification of the task force, when we're talking about the down tube drainage, that was designed just for condensation from the inside, not water from the outside. So the problems that we're having with the leakage is actually water coming in from the outside through the seals, through the gaskets, and probably could have gone into the tubing, but if the tubing is plugged, then that's when it overflows from those nodes. So it's a combination here. I don't want you to think that it's just, you know, the tubing. It's interesting that this is the first I've heard that there was a built-in flushing system. So when it was the original design, they must have had something where they could flush them to keep them clean, and they must have stopped using that. So this is the first I've heard of that. But again, the original intent was more for the condensation inside.
So to build on that a little bit, that is correct. And for the flushing system, anecdotally, there's a hose bib up at the top. You can run a hose to all the way up on the HVAC units, and then you can flush the system. Well, as environmental issues, pests, and other things have made their way into a system that wasn't utilized, it's clogged. And so how exactly, if I could just kind of gesture to say that the arms are straight and go into the node at the top and the node at the bottom, how you end up pulling that out or routing that out in a safe manner in order to not affect the glass or not the entire system, you start at the top and just kind of work your way down, has been a challenge, obviously, from walking down. So, but it's a big question mark. So one of the things you're going to see here is we have got to expend some money doing exploratory work, mocking up different window types and, you know, in places where we public won't see them to understand the best solution. And this is just one of those projects where you need to invest the time to do that. And that also limits your cost growth, which obviously we keep referring to. So I'll continue if that's okay. The next,
I'm going to skip the programming requirements section because it's
kind of like we discuss that all the time, right? We're doing the planning and programming process. We are on the right path. So I'm going to move forward to some other notes here. The long-term planning fiscal sustainability section, there's a difference of opinion here. WJU stated, you know, we would not expect, you know, the concrete repairs to be needed for 10 to 15 years or more, and that's a longer-term solution. For us, we're kind of, it's a little shorter term, and we've experienced these facilities continuing to grade at a faster rate, so we're a little, we want to push through that to a products we're going to use. They mentioned also doing some testing related to the concrete frame and which products will be best there. It also, I highlighted this point that's really important that we're going to get to when we get to bond council and the repairs that we do. But whether the project can be cash financed or bond financed is something I just noted and highlighted here that is critical to the way we move forward, or privately funded, or whatever case the financing comes from. If you're looking at a solution, simple terms related to a 15-year bond financing, and you think it's a 10-year repair, obviously, both probably bond council and the county would recommend that's not a wet financing method. So we want to be thinking long-term if we're thinking of it.
Jerry, thank you for pointing this out. Do we know if these repairs can be financed through bonding or if it must be cash financed? Do we know that yet?
We did not run this project scope or these two very project scopes through bond council. But the discussion we've already had is through the last 10 to 15 years, that's already a red flag for a 15-year finance project.
And why is that?
I answer would be the initial review for financial assessment should be the project should last, and the project as a whole we're talking, not necessarily those little pieces and elements of it. If an HVAC unit's intended to last 20 years, heating, ventilation, air conditioning unit, and you finance it against 15 years, it makes sense. It's paid off before it's at the end of its serviceable life. So we want to make sure our financing plan matches the expected serviceable life of that project.
Okay. Does it have to do with bond eligibility, like whether or not the project could be paid for through the bonding? Is that it? Or just as you said, this is the county looking at whether we'd get the money's worth out of the time we paid for it?
And as an engineer, that's going to be one of the things we look at. We certainly need to take the next step in the future to talk to the Comptroller's Office and Bond Council about what is truly eligible.
Okay. I think that would be something we should know for sure.
Okay, so moving on to technical approach, I just have a couple highlights here. Again, we can ask questions or refer back to this document in the future. Water infiltration, as I said, is the largest issue at the domes due to the concrete frame. So, honestly, I think you take these two reports together and you start having some conversation related to all the things that need to get done. You start looking at Grace Option 2 and WJE's report, you're starting to really put together a complete picture. When you start doing that, obviously, I'm just going to say the costs aren't what are presented here today. They continue to go up, which is what we always ran into, is that it was this house of cards that when you looked at one issue and then you were already there replacing the seals for the window, why would you not replace the window? And it just kept building. The reason I say that is that while WJE is recommending certain elements related to the water filtration system, as I mentioned, the hubs, the windows are leaking as well. We know this. We have over 9,000 windows. All of those have three seals around their edges. So this is something we would recommend to look at the entire system as the domes as they sit. Are there any questions on those two differences in the report? That one's a little more dry, sorry about that. All right. So there's a point of clarity here that I made that also WJE replied to and said, I think there's still some lingering confusion. So they pulled a quote regarding the GRAPE report that the only difference between options 1 and 2 is the replacement of all the wired glass with the coated insulated glass at an additional cost of $24 million. The primary difference between GRAPE's option 1 and 2 is replacing broken panes, which I've tabbed is about 250 panes they've estimated, or 9,300-ish panes. Yes, they used insulated glass in that estimate. We were part of that decision. But we all just knew we needed to put down a cost that may be realistic. There's other materials we could look at as well that are more expensive. We could do single pane, as has been noted. But what's also extremely important in this is the architectural integrity of the repair. So if we're going to choose a different glass, I would think we'd want to consider or run the numbers on doing all of the glass for a variety of reasons. But one of them is for the integrity of the structure, the architectural integrity of the structure. So our recommendation, again, would be to take a very detailed analysis with a worldwide expert related to the glass options, how they will affect the plants and the visitor's experience to the domes, and then the cost associated with it. So, again, I think this is a difference. This is a point of clarity that I wanted to make sure everyone was aware of, that the $24 million of cost growth was not just single pane versus insulated. It was 9,000 additional windows. And there were, yes, different types of glass. So, I'd like to move on, if possible, to the third page, where we talk about ongoing inspection and maintenance issues associated with the concrete frame. I think what you really have here is a difference of opinion of building owner versus technical expert. And I believe that everyone working on this project has been a technical expert. But as the building owner, we're always going to have a very fine eye for the risk management associated with this, the guests that come into this facility, and our experiences over the last 5 years. So hands-on assessments that are a little more frequent, other ways to assess the facility that may come on board we'd be interested in, but we're not, until we find a solution some recommendations for the task force, and I just, you know, I'm obviously beating the same drum, but I just wanted to note this, that of all the projects I have ever taken part in, where we typically say we need a life cycle cost analysis and understand when reinvestment will occur on a long window, regardless of the bonding time frame, this is the one. We need to dive in to exactly the different options we have with our planning and programming team that we're going to discuss later in this agenda. And then we need to select some options that have 30-year horizons, if not more, related to when reinvestment will be required, and look at endowments or some type of funding to ensure the maintenance occurs for this facility that we continue to invest in. I can't understate, and I'm actually really thrilled at where we're at. I think we're on the right path. The planning and programming teams that we're going to look at presenting options to the county are wonderful. We really need to look at all the options they present and think about the 30, 40 years down the road, because while most of the challenges we have had in this facility have been ongoing for decades and decades. We've talked a lot about administrations one, two, or three prior. They've been issues for decades behind us, and we need to not do that again. Are there any questions?
Sandy, Director of the Domes. I just want to make sure the task force understands this is a fix, that if this is what we end up doing, we may all be sitting in this room 12 years from now. I don't know about you, John, or me, but some of us will still be sitting in the room trying to think of what the next band-aid will be. There's also a huge impact on the plants and the staff here. We will still have to close the domes for these inspections. I think you have that as one of your components. So it means getting rid of plants, putting in cranes, closing the dome, stopping people from coming in again. So it's stopping our daily operations. So we're going to go right back to where we were last year. As far as the preservation end of it, those things may come out in public forums. I don't know what level historic preservation would play with changing the hubs or even the glass. I have no idea. It has to be astronomical to historically preserve the domes as they once were in their original design in 1959. That has to be too astronomical for anybody to even want to approach that dollar amount. But I just want you to be aware that I'm not sure a temporary fix or band-aid is really what we should be doing here this generation. So I hope you read the report, and I hope you certainly question everybody to get the answers you need to move ahead. Thank you.
I just want to have a question. I just wanted some clarification. For clarification from WJE, it appears from what I could tell that they are treating their recommended repairs and their recommendation of maintaining and continuing to keep the domes adequately sealed so that there isn't water infiltration. And they recognize that that's going to, like anything, it's going to, it depends on caulking, you're going to have to re-caulk from time to time or have it sealed. But am I correct in understanding that they see that as an indefinite prolonging of the useful life of the facility? That means it could be 40 years, 50 years, 60 years if you periodically continue maintenance of the structure.
Sure.
Not something that we would have to, you know, be facing as a whole new problem.
The issue of maintenance is something we differ in opinion a little bit on what they're saying about it. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of big questions to be answered when it talks about the maintenance, because I'll let you know, the show dome is much different to put this mesh up than the tropical or the air dome. It took 4 weeks, and that was our learning curve as well, to get the mesh, the safety mesh, into the show dome. It took almost 4 months to get it in the tropical dome, and that's where we supposedly knew what we were doing. Much more complicated with the plants, with the layout, to access this. The whole idea of bringing the mesh down for maintenance, I would love to not have the mesh, but it is a risk. And this building is aging. We've got suspended, reinforced concrete. It's not like a lot of buildings where you can come in and redo whole sections and keep it ongoing forever. You know, can we keep it 20 years? Probably, most definitely. Can we keep it 50? Not unless we want to put a big investment in it to keep it 50. Can we keep it 100? The number goes way down. It's maybe a historic structure, but each time we have to reinvest. This is an extremely expensive structure to put the maintenance in. And if we do a maintenance project on it, and we may be actually doing a disservice to this building because we may be waiting 15, 20 years to put the same amount of money in, and they may not have it that time, or maybe too far gone. We have a lot of things to do before we can look at the actual repairs. We have to look at the concrete. We have to do some testing, carbonization, and find out what's happening. And there are ways we can treat it, slow it down, coat it, and see what extra life we can get. But a 50-year-old concrete structure, you have to do inspections and maintenance continuously. I think WJE agrees with that, but it gets more and more expensive. And if we were to take this mesh down, I would not go over 2 years before I did an inspection again. It's that risky. And this structure is not like a bridge with cars under it or things that pass randomly under it. We have children and families and people right underneath it. So how much is acceptable if one of those fall here or there? Well, our risk management says no fall. I think that was acceptable. So that's going to be a hard point to kind of go around. The mesh makes my job a whole lot more difficult. That's why I don't want it to be there. We put it up because we recognize the safety factor, but we have to deal with it for now until we have a solution. And if one of our solutions, and that's why GRAPE has such a wide range of solutions, because rebuilding the actual structure of it may be what is the right thing to do. We don't know. That's why we're presenting everything to you to look at these questions. And, you know, there are other questions we need to know before we even get into how to maintain them. And the plants, the plant life, the idea of repurposing these domes is not such a bad idea. I mean, they talk in the WJE report about not being able to use glass, UV-rated glass. Well, if you repurpose it, you may be able to do a few of those things, but you need to, I mean, which is the purpose of the feasibility study, is to really know how we need to use this and what is the best long-term effect of it, sustainability-wise, and for the plants as well, because we have a rare collection. So I hope you understand how this complicates things maintenance-wise on the whole realm of keeping the building up. I'll tell you, in 2013, when we had the first fall down, we spent 2 months talking about, do we have to take all of the plants out of there, flatten it, just to put up scaffolding. And that was a tough thing to sit and think about. And luckily, we found a lift that took an incredible amount of planning that we could do it, but it's very expensive. And if we're going to go to doing an inspection every other year because we don't have a mesh, it was about $500,000 just to do the first inspection. So it almost be less expensive to put the mesh back up than to keep doing inspections. And also this point, with the plants in there, if it's not repurposed, if it's the same layout, I'm going to need to close down the tropical and arid dome every other year for about 3 months just to do the inspection. That's a lot of downtime in order to keep the plants in there. So it's just one of the things to consider. All right, sorry.
Are there other questions?
Just a comment. No, the report we have GRAPE, we have peer review, we have county response, we have withstanding again. Sort of like you said, she said?
Yes.
And as a layperson, I'm nowhere close though, to having a recommendation or even an opinion. So what I come away with is that what we have through the West Janie report is one more option among others, and there is so much more we need to know that we have to go through the process with the consultant that assumes item 5 on the agenda, kind of move from there and just sort of press the process to go further on. Is that a basic understanding?
That's a great understanding, I would say, and I think it's going to be even greater. What you're going to have is a menu of options available to us in 6-9 months, a year maybe, where we're at with type of class and how to fix the exterior structure and how do we keep the educational functions growing here. So it's all going to kind of pull together like a patchwork blanket and have a scope of work that makes sense for Milwaukee County.
One of the features that we looked at in the responses to our request for proposals was how the responders would help us with getting the national technical assistance to answer some of the technical questions that are now quite well refined in large part. We're figuring out what questions need to be answered, which is an important part of any undertaking like this. And the dialogue back and forth between Grave, the county staff engineers, and the West Janie has, I think, moved us quite far along in terms of understanding and identifying what the issues are that need to be resolved. We have not yet resolved the issues, and we're hoping that the process that we're embarking on now will move us to, by further examination of these considerations, to a way to make some sound decisions about options and their costs. So I think we're in a good case. I think I want to point out that during the discussion there was mentioned that we might need to do some testing of the concrete frame, including the carbonization testing and some other matters. Grafe and WJE both highly recommended doing some testing to make better decisions about the long-term upkeep and maintenance of the concrete to keep it from squalling and presenting a risk. So that seems, but that is not something that I recall specifying in the request for proposals that we would expect the respondent to do that testing. Exploratory work of the drainage system is another matter that we're seeing. We really need to know how that those conditions and be able to answer those questions in order to make sound cost estimates for rehabilitation and repair of the domes. So there are matters that I think that we may get advice from our consultants that we move on early in order to narrow the range of options so that we could make sounder cost projections than we would if we didn't leave open on an unknown. That means we put a large range of response because we don't even know what the problem is, say nothing of how best to solve it. The extent of the problem. You know what the problem is, we don't know its extent. So when we get to the discussion of the response to the proposals, let's keep in mind some of these needs that may be upcoming. Is there anything else on this agenda? Any other quick questions from you?
We still, our original account for the domes, which was the mesh, we also had some planning money in there, and we do intend to do some further testing, but we're actually not in a design point because we're still trying to, we're waiting for the big task force recommendation of what to do and what kind of repairs to do, but we will need to be doing that mock-up, and we could move that up sooner and get the concrete testing done, get some tearing apart of the frame and figuring that out. If we can reseal the window system and all of that. So So we actually can do that at any time.
This is one of those chicken and the egg and the egg and the chicken problems, you know. How much do you do and how much do you spend doing it, finding out what the possible solutions are.
Thank you, Chairman. I recently consulted with the comptroller's office about the amount available in the netting fund, and I think, without going into specifics, I think we are in a very sound position to explore substantial testing, as Ms. Baston described. Thank you.
All right, I think that concludes that agenda item. The next agenda item